What's up, everybody? This is the Inner Circle Podcast. We're on episode 31. I'm here with a very special guest, which just happens to be my pastor, Pastor Trini. Go ahead and say what's up to all the people.
What's up?
So we're here at the top of the church and the new media room. It's starting to come together. There's a lot of wires everywhere. There's a lot of things that still need to be moved. We're still moving a lot of stuff here in the church. But I basically just wanted to come today, and I wanted you to just talk about your testimony with the people. That's really what I've been looking for. I've been looking forward to doing this episode with you for a while. And I was like, what am I going to get Pastor Trini to talk about? And I was like, just let him do his testimony, because you've done it before anyway, so this should be easy.
So, I mean, you know, my testimony is, you know, there's a lot to it, but most important is, you know, to give God all the praise, yes, and all the glory, to give him all the credit, because without God, I wouldn't be here.
Yeah.
Without God, I wouldn't have a testimony.
Yeah.
You know, but just a little bit about me. I grew up, I was born and raised in Oak Cliff. You know, I grew up in the church.
Yeah.
Man, ever since I can remember going to church every Sunday morning after service, you know, me and my family would go and go eat at a cafeteria.
Yeah.
And that's where it started, you know. But, you know, I mean, I really didn't know anything about God. I was just going because my family was taking me there. Ended up going to, you know, middle school, high school, Sunset High School. Eventually, I started hanging around with the wrong crowd.
Mm-hmm.
And as I was hanging around with the wrong crowd, they introduced me into many other things that had nothing to do with God.
Yeah.
You know? So they introduced me into gangs.
Yeah.
Drugs. You know, the party life.
Yeah.
Being in the streets all night. There was times that I would show up at home 2-3 in the morning, and my mom was still awake, waiting for me to get home.
Oh, wow.
And even one time, Ray, I mean, I can remember my mom calling me and telling me, don't come home tonight because there's, you know, like 10 cars outside waiting for you.
Oh, wow.
Because, you know, obviously people didn't like me from a different gang.
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, it was a tough life. My parents... all the best parents. I love my mom and my dad. Mm. They never taught me anything wrong. As a matter of fact, my dad doesn't drink. My mom doesn't drink.
Yeah.
They've always believed in God. But when I got to that age, you know, I started choosing or started walking in the wrong path.
Yeah.
So at the age of, you know, at the age of 17, me and some friends of ours, one day we decided to start a gang. And,
yeah.
not thinking anything of it, you know, but, you know, eventually that gang started growing. Mm. From my understanding, the gang's still out there.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
So, you know, once I got involved with that, I got a little bit older and didn't want to be involved. I started having my first son.
Yeah.
You know, he was born, and I just wanted to get away from gangs. I didn't want that part of my life anymore. I think I shared this with you before. My mom's house got shot up more than 30 times.
Yeah.
You know, because people were trying to kill me. Once I had my son, you know, I said no to the gang. And more of it was, now I want to be more responsible with my son. How do you do that? It's by, you know, money, you know. And I started getting involved in selling drugs.
Yeah.
You know, eventually I got caught. You know, I lost everything I had. You know, even my kids, you know, yeah. I did not grow up with my two oldest. Didn't see them walking, didn't see them, you know, say the first words. But, you know, at that time, you know, I was definitely trying to find a way out and searching, you know, I found God.
Yeah.
Just a lot to my story.
Yeah.
There's a lot to my story. I mean, from the point of, you know, I almost did 15 years in a federal prison.
Yeah.
Guy showed up and I only did 15 months.
Yeah.
You know, I said earlier, people shooting at me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still alive. You yeah. know, praise God for that. But all this time, Ray, you know, somebody was praying for me.
Yeah.
You know, and here at the church on the move, you know, I've told everybody that it was my grandma's prayers that kept me safe.
Yeah.
She believed that God could reach me.
Mm-hmm.
She believed that transformation was coming to my life. Even when I was drugged up, even when I was involved in gangs.
Yeah.
She never stopped believing.
Mm.
You know, she kept believing. I remember one time I showed up at my grandma's house. I had got jumped. maybe five or six people, and I show up at my grandma's house, you know, with a black eye bleeding. Mm-hmm. And she looked at me, and she didn't look at me with, you know, with sad eyes, or she didn't look at me like, what did you get yourself into?
Yeah.
She looked at me with the eyes of Christ, and she said, this one day, this is all going to be over, and you're going to serve God.
Yeah. Wow.
You know, so, I mean, you know, that was a rough life that I lived, that I chose.
Yeah.
You know, I chose that life. Mm-hmm. But then at the age of 13 years ago, when I met my wife, Mike, there, I was already tired of that lifestyle.
Yeah.
You know, I was tired of that lifestyle. And I told her, you know, hey, you know what? I just want to go to church. I want to serve God. And she kind of looked at me a little crazy. You know? And, you know, she liked to go out. She liked to go out. She liked to party as well. And I was just ready for change.
Yeah.
You know, she didn't understand it because she did not grow up in the church.
Yeah.
So all this was new to her. Mm-hmm. There was times that I remember one time I was at the house fixing the floors there at the house. And I just started putting my worship music on.
Yeah.
At that time, I was listening to Michael W. Smith, Let It Rain.
Yeah.
And I'm in there jamming out, you know, and they're just, you know, asking God to help me because I want to change, asking God to change my life, you know. But not only me, but my wife as well. And so I remember that day I'm fixing the floors. She walks in from work, and like I said, I mean, nothing, this is new to her.
Yeah.
And she looked at me kind of crazy and got upset, got mad, you know, and walked away. Mm-hmm. And there I am in the floor, you know, like, man, I'm trying to fix the house and trying to make it look nicer and we're doing worship and, you know, and turn into an argument. But that was the start of our journey with Christ.
Yeah.
So, that was our start, our journey with Christ, and that's where everything began.
So, when we were planning this episode out, I asked you what you felt like was one of the biggest lessons that you learned in your testimony, and you told me that you felt like you were running away from God's calling in your life.
Yes.
So, my first question would be, when did you notice that you were running from God's calling in your life?
So, when I started, you know, doing my own thing, when I started getting involved in gangs and drugs, I started noticing that there were a lot of things that, or a lot of places or people that wanted to kill me, right? Mm-hmm. And for some reason, I was still alive.
Yeah.
An example, I was there at Sunset High School, and I remember the bell rang.
Yeah.
And it was, you know, after school, and I'm going home, walking home. As I'm walking home, this guy pulls up.
Yeah.
Gets off the car and puts a gun. Literally, yeah, like 5 feet away from me.
And how old were you at this time?
Man, I was probably 17.
Yeah.
18 years old.
Okay.
You know, and he pulls his gun on me, and deep inside of me, you know, I'm praying to God. I was like, God, you know, help me.
Yeah.
But, you know, of course, the outside of me, the gang member of me,
yeah,
you know, started talking to this guy, and I was just like, if you're going to do it, pull the trigger.
Yeah.
But inside of me, I was crying.
Yeah.
You know? And true story, man. When the guy pulled the trigger, the gun fell apart.
Wow.
Right in front of my
That's
eyes.
That's crazy.
You know?
Yeah.
And I remember that the police officers from Sunset High School were there. Mm-hmm. And the moment the gun fell apart, they tackled this guy down.
Yeah.
You know? So things like that started reminding me that I started noticing that I was running away from God.
Yeah.
You know, that's one example. Another example, you know, driving down the street and all of a sudden,
yeah,
you know, you hear a bullet just fly through your face.
Wow.
Through the car, through one window, and it exit out through the other window.
Wow.
And the only thing we heard was just the sound of the bullet flying through. So I started noticing those things. Mm-hmm. Overdose. I never had an overdose.
Yeah.
You know, and I was addicted to drugs for about 6 years straight.
Yeah.
I started noticing these things that, you know what, I'm just, God's calling me and I'm running away.
Yeah.
But at the same time, he was protecting me as I was running.
Yeah. So what would you say was the reason that you were running?
I think that, you know, I didn't want to I think I was scared.
Yeah.
You know, I was scared. I did not look like what, I did not know how life was going to look serving God, mm-hmm. because I was used to living a lifestyle of nobody telling me what to do.
Yeah.
I can go home and sleep whenever I wanted to. Yeah. I did not have to work because I was getting money through selling drugs.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't want to let go of those things.
Yeah.
You know, I wanted to hold on to that. I was scared that I was going to lose everything I had, my friends.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's one of the reasons why I kept running.
Okay. And then so my next question would be, how did you stop running from God?
So, like I said earlier, you know, when I met my wife, I was tired.
Mm-hmm.
I think that I realized that if I don't stop right now, I'm going to end up dead.
Yeah.
You know, and this is a thing really that I want to talk about. Oh, I want to say on this part and to those who are listening.
Yeah.
A lot of times we feel like we're running away from God and we ran so far away from God that God can't reach us.
Yeah.
But I noticed in this season that I felt that I was running away from God. I ended up finding out that God was running with me.
Yeah. Wow.
You know, because the days that I should have been dead, I wasn't dead.
Yeah.
When I called out to God, he was just right there with me.
Right there, yeah.
You know, and it wasn't like I had to run back to church. It wasn't like I had to run back to a church building or somebody that, you know, can pray for me. No, he was right there, and I noticed that. Man, because trust me, you know, like I grew up in the church, and I was like, man, I ran away from God so far that it's going to be hard for me to come back to God.
Yeah.
But then I noticed, no, God is right there with me,
mm-hmm.
you know. And an example, Psalms 139:7 says, where can I go from your spirit, or where can I flee from your presence?
Yeah.
You know, we try to run, we try to flee, but his spirit is always there. His presence is always there.
Yeah.
You know, or the example, Jonah, you know, Jonah tried to run from God.
Yeah.
You know, and he couldn't do it. And that's what in reality, that's the way I felt when I was running away from God. When this gang started. Let me say this, Ray. I've always knew that there was a calling in my life,
mm-hmm.
But I think that I ignored it for many years.
Yeah.
So, you know, I just one day decided, you know what, I'm tired of running.
Yeah.
I'm tired of, you know, ignoring God.
Yeah.
I mean, it's crazy. Everywhere I would go, there was always somebody there.
Yeah.
That would talk to me about Jesus. You know? And I would even, sometimes I would say this, you know, like, man, you're preaching to the choir, you know, I already know what you're going to tell me. And one day that I was in jail, I remember this, there was a man there. There was only one Bible in this pod or this jail cell. And this guy had it. It was a Bible. And he told me these words. He's like, hey, I carry the Bible here because I'm the one that preaches to the
mm-hmm.
inmates. He was an inmate too, right?
Oh, okay.
So he was an inmate and he carried the Bible and he gave Bible classes. He preached there.
Yeah.
And I remember that he comes up to me one day and he says, hey, hey, Trini. I was like, yeah, what's going on? He's like, so I'm about to get released. And I have to go ahead.
Yeah, no, I was going to say, was this like your first week there? Or?
Yeah, it was my first week there.
Oh, okay. It was first week. Wow.
Yeah. And he said, I'm about to be released. And, you know, I have to pass this Bible to another preacher.
Okay.
So he gave it to me.
Wow.
You know, and I had never preached.
Oh, wow.
And,
really?
Yeah. The first time this happened to me, I had never preached. I knew some stories from the Bible. So he gives me the Bible. And the following day, I just started preaching in the jail cell.
And that's your first sermon, wasn't
it? My first time. The only thing I knew was, hey, Jesus came. He died for us. He forgave our sins.
Yeah.
You know, but then I will pray and ask God, God, get me out of jail.
Mm-hmm.
You know, get me out of jail. If you get me out of jail, you know, I won't be the best follower of Christ.
Yeah.
You know, I did that prayer so many times, Ray.
Yeah, and a lot of us do. You know what I'm saying? if you give me this, Lord, I'll start doing this. If you do this for me, you know, it's just things like that.
Yeah.
We're kind of bargaining with the Lord in a way, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. And he will come through though.
Yeah.
You know, he will come through. I remember he got me out and instead of going to church that weekend or, you know, giving God thanks for that. Yeah. I remember the following day, my friends picked me up and I went right back out, you know.
Oh, wow.
and got in trouble again. Mm-hmm. The same rotation.
Yeah.
You know, so I kept running from God.
Yeah.
You know, I kept running from God. But I will never forget that guy that was there in the jail and passed me down the Bible. And I think that's also where God was confirming many things in my life. And my grandma's prayers were being fulfilled.
Yeah. So yeah, and I think that the first part of running back to God, because obviously when we run so far away, we have to do some kind of turnaround at some point, kind of like what we were listening to with that one Bible study we did with Tony Evans about the U-turn.
Oh yeah, yes.
Yeah, the U-turn. So I think the first step obviously would be surrendering, mm-hmm. and then repentance. So where would you say that you started surrendering and did the 180 and started your repentance back to the Lord?
Yeah, so what happened is I ended up getting a case, mm-hmm. catching a case, and I was, you know, can't remember my age, 27, 20, probably about 25 years old when I caught this case.
Okay.
And at that moment, I realized something clicked in me, and I realized that I need God.
Yeah.
You know, I need God. So when I got this case, you know, it was a big case.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I'm just going to be honest with y'all. It was a big case. And, the only one that was going to be able to help me was God.
Yeah.
You know? But then I remembered, also people that had prayed for me in the past would tell me, you know, that everything has to, if I want God to change my life, it has to start with me.
Yeah.
You know, I can't just, every other time that I wanted God to do something in my life, it was just me asking him, but I wouldn't give him nothing in return.
Yeah.
You know, so at this time, with a sincere heart, you know, I came to God and I said, God, I want it now. Mm-hmm. I can't do this anymore.
And then would you tell the story? That's the story whenever they put that video of that guy, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Go ahead and tell that story.
So you know, I ended up, I ended up going to jail. Mm-hmm. I get out on pretrial release.
Yeah.
You know, this is a federal case. I get out on pretrial release and I don't go to court.
Yeah.
So basically I'm on the run, mm-hmm. right? I meet my wife and, you know, and she kind of knows about it a little bit, you know? So at that moment, we start serving God.
Yeah.
We become youth pastors. We went to go see a lawyer.
Yeah.
And I told my lawyer the case, and I didn't, you know, I skipped court. And my lawyer at that time goes and checks and comes back and tells me, I already looked at the records. You don't have no search warrant. There's no warrant. There's no warrant for your arrest.
Yeah.
He said, statute of limitation mm-hmm. is passed.
Okay.
So you're good. So what did I do? I ended up working for, and being just, you know, we ended up getting married, living a normal life for 10 years, right?
Wow.
You know, for 10 years, I'm here, serving God, preaching God's word.
Yeah.
Because I remember at this time, I'm just with a sincere heart. I'm following God.
Yeah.
You know? And, one day, the U.S. Marshals picked me up after 10 years.
Wow.
And that's the part that you were going into, mm-hmm. right? I ended up going to jail. You know, I ended up going to a federal prison. While I'm in there, I'm still waiting for my sentencing.
Yeah.
Right? And at this time, I'm in jail and I'm preaching and I'm in jail. So mm-hmm. I kind of got upset at God.
Yeah.
You know, I say, God, you know, I can't believe you took me away from my family.
Yeah.
You know, you took me away from my wife. I'm mm-hmm. preaching your word and you still take me away from that, you know?
Yeah.
Not knowing that it was me that put myself in jail, not God.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm the one that made the decisions in the past. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't even God had nothing to do with that.
Yeah.
You know? So, but anyways, you know, I'm just there and I'm mad at God. And then my wife, you know, one of the phone calls, she's like, don't blame God.
Yeah.
It was your decisions. You're the one that put yourself in there. So, you know, I came to understand that, you know what, I put myself in here. So there was days there that I was okay being there.
Yeah.
But there was days that I will miss my family, man.
Yeah.
So one day I'm in there. And this preacher shows up, mm-hmm. right? And this preacher comes to where I'm at. At this point, I have given up on God.
Yeah.
You know, I'm in jail. I given up on God. It's like, man, you know, I can't do nothing here in jail. And this preacher man comes in and comes up to me and tells me, hey, you know, I want to invite you to church, you know, come and join us. And I'm just like, no, thank you. You know?
Yeah.
And then, then I felt conviction.
Yeah.
And so I get up and go to church that mm-hmm. day. And that day, the preacher says, I'm not going to preach today, but I'm going to share a video.
Yeah.
So it was a testimony that he showed. Right. So I'm sitting down in jail.
Yeah.
Right. Listening to this man's testimony. Mm-hmm. And, you know, this man starts saying that you know, he got caught selling drugs.
Yeah.
Went on the run. Mm-hmm. Started preaching God's word. And then after 7 years, the U.S. Marshals picked him up.
Yeah.
So this had my attention because that's the same story I had.
Yeah.
Right? I caught a case selling drugs. I went on the run. Mm-hmm. 10 years later, you know, when I'm preaching God's word, the feds picked me up.
Yeah.
Exact same story.
Yeah.
Now, you have to understand this, Ray, that out of every prison or every jail this video could have been at, right?
Yeah.
Ended up being in the jail that I was at.
Yeah.
The crazy thing about this is that when the testimony of this guy was over, mm-hmm. they showed his name,
yeah.
and his name was Trinidad. That's my name.
Yeah. So crazy, yeah.
That is so crazy.
Yeah.
So I'm just like, how does this guy have the same testimony I do mm-hmm. in my name? And I'm watching him. I was in jail in Oklahoma.
Yeah.
Tulsa, Oklahoma. And then all of a sudden, this video is right here in Tulsa, Oklahoma. You know, with this, at that moment, I fell to my knees. Mm-hmm. I repented.
Yeah.
You know, I asked God to forgive me for everything, for doubting, for you know, being upset because yeah. he took me out of my family and out yeah. of the church. At that moment, I just fell to my knees, started crying to God and say, God, forgive me, Lord.
Yeah.
You know, and something about this, Ray, is that in jail, you can't show weakness. You can't cry. Mm-hmm. You know, that's a no-no. But I fell to my knees, and I'm crying. I say, God, forgive me, God.
Yeah.
You know?
Man.
And then they put that song, I Surrender. Mm-hmm. You know, they put that song, I Surrender. And I'm there crying, I surrender, God, you know?
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, after 30 minutes, I get up, and about 50 to 60 men that were there with me, they're all on the floor crying.
Wow.
The Spirit of God just showed up in yeah. that room. You know, and I look at the clock, and it's about 9:30. The phones are about to be turned off. So I run to the phone and I'll call my wife and she didn't pick up the first time and yeah. I redial again.
yeah.
You know, you're like, yeah, pick up the phone. And she picks up the phone.
Yeah.
And I'm crying. I'm mm-hmm. like, babe, she goes, what happened? Who beat you up? She really thought that somebody had beat me up, you know? And yeah. she's like, what happened? Who beat you up? Or what did they do to you? I said, no, let me tell you what happened.
Yeah.
I'm in this room. I'm listening to this testimony. And I told her the whole thing.
Yeah.
You know, and I said, God is with us. God is still with us, you know? Yeah. He hasn't forsaken us. He hasn't left us, you mm-hmm. know? And man, that was incredible right yeah. there. I mean, that's the moment that my whole mindset just changed, and I said, I will never doubt God again.
Yeah,
you know, in jail, check this out. In jail, when I was in there, people would come up to me at 6 a.m. People mm-hmm. that were going to court that day to get yeah. sentenced, and they would say, you know, they would used to call me Padrecito. They say, Padrecito, can you pray for me? And I will pray for them, and then the Lord would give me a number, but I wouldn't give them the number right away.
Yeah.
So I would write it in a piece of paper and put it in my Bible, and they would go to court. When they would come back to court, you know, they would tell me, they were like, man, they gave me 5 years. And that number that I wrote on the piece of paper was 5.
Yeah, wow.
You know, and God did that with, like, man, 10 or 15 people. Mm-hmm. He would just give me numbers, 20. They would come back from court and they said, they gave me 20 years. Mm-hmm. You know, I knew God had already told me the time they were going to do
yeah.
before they even went to court.
Yeah.
You know, I saw people that would get hurt, you know, there in the jail cell playing handball.
Yeah.
And God, they will go and give me and say, Padrecito, come and pray for this guy. You know, he got hurt. And I will pray. And I will see God's hand move in a mighty powerful way, you know. And I was like, man, God is doing something here.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I'm missing my family. Mm-hmm. Right. So then I start praying. I say, God, I need a miracle.
Yeah.
Right. I need a miracle, God. I need a miracle. I need you to come through. And what you have to, well, what people need to understand that in a federal prison, it's not about you having the best lawyer.
Yeah.
It's all about points there.
Okay.
Right? So my points were like a 32. That minimum was 15 years.
Yeah.
Minimum. It doesn't matter what lawyer you had. It didn't matter. None of that. My lawyer comes in. He goes, man, get great news. Obama dropped 2 points. That's when Obama was president. He dropped 2 points from the federal prisons.
Yeah.
You know, so your year drops to 7. And I signed.
Yeah.
I said, 7 years. I started adding up 80%. I called my wife. I said, babe, I signed for 7 years, you know, because Obama dropped 2 points. And my wife got mad. I thought she was going to be happy. She got mad. She
yeah.
said, what did you do? By you signing 7 years, that means you're not trusting God for a miracle.
Yeah.
You're right. So I started asking God again. I went back into my prayer closet there in jail. I said, God, forgive me for not believing and trusting in you.
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, time went by and I finally went to court about to get sentenced.
Mm-hmm.
And when I was about to get sentenced, the DA asked to meet with the judge and my lawyer.
Yeah.
And they go up to the front on my sentencing day. And the DA had re-signed my case.
Wow.
And my lawyer comes back and says, the DA re-signed.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, so what's next? He said, well, we got to find out what the judge is going to do.
Yeah.
So the judge stands up and says, we're going to have to reschedule his sentencing because the DA re-signed. And the DA said, judge, my job is to put Mr. Rodetta behind bars for many, many years. But
yeah.
I'm re-signing out of his case.
Yeah.
Right. And he re-signed. The judge wanted to move the date, and my lawyer said no. That the decision had to be made that day because
yeah.
I had already been waiting for a sentencing.
Yeah.
And the judge ended up giving me 15 months.
Wow.
I had already been in jail for 9 months.
Yeah.
So I only had to do 6 more months.
That's crazy.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, look at God, bro.
The
favor, you know?
Yeah.
And so I'm excited.
Yeah.
I'm like, man, God just answered my prayer.
Yeah.
And then they told me that I'm going into a medium prison,
mm-hmm.
you know, which is a high, medium, and low.
Yeah.
And I get to the prison, and I look at this big prison with barbed wires everywhere.
Yeah.
And I'm looking at it, oh, no, man, this is scary. You know, this is something yeah. I'll be watching. I had never been in jail. I never
yeah.
been in prison. And then God shows up again.
Mm-hmm.
He says, you're not going to prison. You're going to a camp.
To a camp, yeah.
You know, so I end up going to a camp. You know, for 6 more months, got out of jail, and I said, man, I'm not running from God anymore. I'm surrendering all to the Lord.
That's right. Yes.
You know, so.
And then, so I liked what you said last Wednesday about, because you were talking about how when you first got saved at 21, that you were preaching and you were having a Bible study, but that it didn't last. And the reason being is because you had no discipleship.
Correct. So. You know, we're talking about discipleship, you
yeah.
know, so a disciple is somebody that is being taught, you know, mm-hmm. a follower of Christ, the way we know it, right?
Yeah.
But at 21, you know, I did get saved. I was on fire for God.
Yeah.
You know, and I started, you know, preaching in the streets,
mm-hmm.
you know, I started preaching in the streets. I remember fitting up our living room with just people from the streets, just
yeah.
sharing Jesus. But I failed,
mm-hmm.
you know, and at that time I did not know why. It's because I didn't have nobody to disciple me.
Yeah.
You know, and it's very important, you know, when we come to Christ, it's not you by yourself. You need somebody to help you.
Yeah.
You need somebody to guide you. You know, of course we have the Holy Spirit, you know, but we also need somebody to be accountable to.
Yeah.
You know, and I didn't have anybody to be accountable at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when I ended up... selling drugs and getting caught.
Yeah.
You know, and mm-hmm. But right now, Ray, it's been 13 wonderful years serving God.
Yes. Amen.
13 years without running away from God.
Yeah.
You know, before I used to run away from God, now I'm running towards God.
That's right. Yeah. The reason why I bring that up is because running back to the Lord, I feel like first it takes surrendering and repentance and then discipleship, but also getting plugged in, because getting plugged in, that also what you said is it helps you be accountable to somebody, because if you're not accountable to nobody, then obviously you're more likely to fail. Because
yeah.
like you said, we had to kind of work together in this. Like this is not the I feel like our walk in faith isn't something that we should be doing alone. Because even God said it's not right for man to be alone.
Yeah.
And then the Bible also says too that iron sharpens iron. And then I like what you always said. I always say this too, that the only way that iron can sharpen another iron is when they connect.
When they touch, yeah.
Yeah, when they touch. So getting plugged in, I feel like, is a very, very, very important thing to do, because when you're serving, you know, I've heard someone say this to me before, that an idle mind is the devil's playground. Because when you're not doing nothing and you're not working, when you don't have your hands on something,
yeah,
that's when the devil can come and attack. Like for David, for example, when he was supposed to go to war,
yeah,
and when he didn't go to war, what ended up happening? He ended up into sin. And that's why I think it's important to serve, even whenever you feel like you're not worthy of serving, because I feel like serving makes us better.
Yes.
You know what I mean? And so I guess to wrap things up, I just want you to, whatever you feel like the Lord's pressing on your heart for the people, to say what you feel.
Yeah. You know, I just want to speak to those people that have been running from God, away from God. And you're probably in a place where you feel that you've run so far away from God that there's no way you can come back. I just want to encourage you, you know, right there where you at right now, God is there with you.
Yes.
You know, a lot of times we're tired of life. We're tired of everything that is going around in the world, because we're running. Mm-hmm. Where we don't need to be running anymore.
Yeah.
You know, God is so close to us, closer than what we can imagine.
Yeah.
You know, of course, we say God is in heaven, right?
Mm-hmm.
But in reality, God is here with us.
Yeah.
He says that he will never leave us nor forsake us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he says, just call on him and he will answer. You know, the Bible says that, you know, we're the temple of the Holy Spirit. In other words, he wants to live in us. He lives in us, you know. But to everyone out there that, you know, you feel like you're running away, I just want to speak to those people.
Yeah.
If you feel like you're running away from God and you're tired of life, you know, I just want to tell you to just stop where you're at right now.
Yeah.
Call on God and God will come to your rescue.
That's right.
You know, God will come to your rescue. He wants to rescue you.
Yeah.
I'm going to say that one more time. He wants to rescue you.
Yeah.
You know? So that's what I want to share, man. That's what I want to come into you to share with everybody that's listening right now. Stop running.
Yeah.
Call on God,
yeah.
And surrender to him.
That's good. And get plugged in. And if you're looking for a place to get plugged in, Church on the Move, 1502. I almost messed up. 1502 Houston Street. And if you're not at Church on the Move,
Where you at?
Okay, so I just want to thank everybody for listening. Thank you so much to all the listeners. If you want to follow us, you can follow us at @_InnerCirclePodcast on Instagram. And you can follow us. What's the Church on the Move?
ChurchOnTheMoveGP.org.
Okay, yeah, we have a website. Then you can come to church too if you want to get plugged in. And that's pretty much it. So it's been real and it's been fun, but it ain't been real fun. So we out of here. Thank you.
Yeah.